All right, let's pray for the message. Father God, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your faithfulness. Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your sacrifice and your willingness to obey all the way to the end. And for that, you've given us freedom in you. You saved us. Not from just eternal death, which is the most important, but from ourselves, God. So God, give us all ears to hear today. Clear our minds, Father, of all the stuff we got going on in our important lives, that we could just sit at your feet today, hear what you have to say, and receive it like a seed planted in our heart that will produce fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. If you have your Bibles, open them to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Last week in chapter 6, we covered the masses of people chasing after Jesus, not for salvation, but for more free food. Jesus and the 12 disciples had fed at least 10 to 20,000 people with a little boy's lunch. And word has spread. That's a massive miracle. Jesus is now in Capernaum. And these Jewish people who are locked into their religion cannot see that the Messiah stands before them. The Lord now begins his sermon to minister to these lost religious folk. Jesus loves them, even though they don't love him back. They are only interested in what Jesus can do for them to make their life more comfortable now. This sad unbelief transcends time to this very day, unfortunately. The truth Jesus shares with them transcends to us today. All those with ears, let them hear the truth that proceeds from the mouth of the Son of God. Amen. So as usual, I'll read the text and then we'll break it down. John chapter 6, verses 32 through 51. So Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. I know that's a lot, but we're going to tackle it today. Jesus is throwing fastballs. Amen. I love that. But he's not sugarcoating anything. Jesus isn't looking for more followers. He's looking for true, born again believers. And so he's not going to sugarcoat the message. And in Jesus' name, neither will I. So let's look at verses 32 through 34. Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." So last week we had talked about it. I'll just set it up for those of you who weren't here. Jesus and his disciples had fed thousands of people across the Sea of Galilee. Then they got in the boat, went to Capernaum, to the other side. The people the next day were looking for more food. And they got into their boats and they followed Jesus. So now they're in Capernaum with Jesus. They're hungry and they're basically asking Jesus, "Where's the food?" You know, Moses fed millions of our people for 38 years in the desert. They were in the desert for 40 years. They went through their stuff and God began to produce manna that they ate every day. And they're like, "You only fed us for one day. Where's the rest? Show us a sign. If you want us to believe in you, why don't you feed us like Moses did?" And that's where Jesus is saying, "Very truly I tell you, amen, amen. It is not Moses who's given you the bread from heaven. It was my Father." Moses is just a servant. Jesus begins directing their focus the focus on man and what man can do back onto God. And he's telling him, you know, the Father has now sent the true sustenance of life that has come down from heaven. There wasn't In-N-Out and Chick-fil-A back then. Bread is hard to come by. Like, bread is a hot commodity. So it's no wonder Jesus uses this metaphor to speak about himself. So, unfortunately, these people still think he's talking about food, but it's okay because they say, "Always give us this bread." So we're hearing you, but we want you to give us this kind of bread. So at least Jesus has them right where he wants them. Right? They're off, but they're listening. Because Jesus loves them. You know, he loves everybody. Every single human being on this planet was created in the image of God. Even the ones who deny him. There will be justice, but the scriptures say that it is not God's heart that any should perish. And we'll get into what the sovereignty of God and our will to choose comes into play, because Jesus addresses this today. In verse 35, then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is, excuse me, this was the first of seven I am statements that Jesus uses in John's gospel. "I am the gate. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life." He says, "I am the bread of life." Jesus is declaring truth about His relationship to salvation in man. It's drawing a line in the sand. Your religion can't save you. Crystals can't save you. Ouija boards don't save you. All the man-made religions and trinkets don't bring you salvation. It is Jesus Christ and Christ only. Jesus has come, prophesied about the prophets thousands of years before. He comes, born of a virgin, walks this earth, and he grows up. He lives a perfect life in thought, word, and deed. In thought, word, and deed, Jesus never sinned. And then he begins to teach like nobody's ever taught before. But see, as we'll see through the scriptures, it's very inclusive. Anyone can eat this bread. All are welcome to come to Jesus, but it also is exclusive. There's only one way. And Jesus is preaching this to these people who are so close and yet so far away. He says, those who come to me and believe in me will never seek satisfaction from any other source. Because he says they will never go hungry. Well, I'm about to be hungry. I haven't had breakfast this morning. I'm physically going to be hungry after church. And I'm thirsty because I'm talking a lot today. Jesus is talking about essentials. Again, he's using examples that we can understand about spiritual concepts. He brings it down to our level. Whoever believes in me, whoever comes to me, will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Your spiritual hunger and your spiritual thirst. Come on now, we all know. Money, cars, fame, likes on Facebook and Instagram only go so far. Right? A new car gets old. Things that our true desire of what we hunger for when we strive for these things like success, only to get to the top and go, I'm empty without Jesus. Happens all the time. So he's saying that those who come to me and believe in me, they will never have to seek another source of that satisfaction that I'm right with God. Not by my means, I didn't earn it. I'm not good enough and kind enough and all that stuff, even though we begin to change when we get born again and we do become kinder and gentler. We should. If we're following Jesus. But it's that completeness. Like, you know what? For the first time in my life, I'm okay. I'm okay with me because I belong to God. He brings me satisfaction. He brings me security. Even though I'm still a sinner, I still make mistakes. We all do. But there's this completeness in our soul when we have eaten the bread of life. Amen? In Matthew 5:6, Jesus says this again, same concept it was a great sermon. What was it called? Come on, somebody. Yes, thank you. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? For they will be what? Filled. When we take our hunger and our desires and our striving and we put it towards seeking God, learning the promises, and we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us free. No longer do we need to strive and strive and strive. And hey, we all should work hard, make money, take care of our families, live a good life. Totally. But don't let that be the thing that drives you. You want to drive against, you know, to something, drive to get to know the Lord. Make time in your life, because you'll have to make time to sit down and dine with Jesus, dine on Jesus. But when we do that, we are filled. Come on, people. You know that you're different. Now, those of you that have been born again and that have been seeking God and you feed off His Word, you don't need as much as you used to, right? I don't really need a 90-inch TV. They're cool, but I don't need it anymore. I used to have it. The biggest TV. You know, like, I know that's stupid, but I'm telling the truth. And just all that kind of stuff that the world can provide becomes like, you know, if I need a new TV, I'll get a new TV. If I need a new car, I'll get a new car. But I don't have to. You know what I'm talking about. There's a drive, there's a pull, and our whole world system's designed to pull you. You know? Hey, you'll be better looking if you get an Audi. Yeah, golf clubs are okay. I believe it's in first, no. Amen, amen. So then Jesus, he offers the satisfaction to the soul, and then he turns on a dime and he calls them out. He draws a line in the sand in verse 36 and he said, "But as I told you, You've seen me and you still do not believe." Jesus can see their hearts. God can see our hearts. There's no reason to fake anything in the house of God with God. Because look, you can fool all of us, but you can't fool God. If you're not truly 100% in, I'm glad you're here today. Keep seeking Him. Keep coming to church. Join a Bible study. Talk to your friends who know Jesus. And be real, because you really want to be born again. You can go to church your whole life and still end up in hell. Do you know that? It's not about that. It's about your heart. And we can't fool them. In verse 37, Jesus lays it down. And this is what we're going to get into, sovereignty and our choices. All those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. So we see here that Jesus is definitely teaching a clear, it is clear that God is sovereign, meaning he's all knowing and he controls everything. Not one thing happens out of the sovereign will of God. He knows about it all. And so if or when we began, because, hey man, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I was a satanic, idol-worshipping, pagan scumbag. Got saved by the blood of Jesus. Okay? But it was because He drew me. You see, we have choices. Yes. We have a free will to choose. But it is the drawing of the Father that would even bring you to church. Some of you are tripping you're even here today. Trust and believe, all of us have been there. Most of us, at least. But you're here. And you're here for a reason. Because God's had you on his mind before the foundation of the world. He knows your whole story from the end to the beginning. And he loves you. He knows all the stuff you did. He knows all the stuff that broke your heart that God done to you. And he loves you. And he wants to heal you. Heal your spirit. Heal your soul. And so he's drawn you here today. All of us are here because of the Father. He's drawn us. So we come to Jesus. So we make the choice, like today, at the end of this service, I'm going to offer a prayer of surrender of salvation to God. For those of you who are unsure, I don't know, or for sure I'm not saved. Whatever that is, it's your choice to pray that prayer today. But you cannot willingly pray that prayer unless the Holy Spirit empowers you to do it. There's that cosmic blend of God's sovereignty in our choices, our free will, yet the Holy Spirit's already working in your life, drawing you to Jesus. Because he truly is the way, the truth, and the life. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the wonderful light, into his wonderful light. We were in darkness, spiritually dead. Every person is until they have that come to Jesus moment where God regenerates the heart, right? He does his thing. And we surrender to Jesus. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. I'm not just following you around so you can better my life now. I actually give you my life, God. You have your way in my life. Let it glorify you. No longer am I living for myself. I am living to glorify you. And are we going to do that perfect? Absolutely not. So don't think you will. And don't believe the lie when you screw up and they go, oh, you're such a hypocrite, fake. Yeah, all of us. If you want to put us up against a perfect holy God. But that's what the blood of Jesus, the perfect blood, the perfect life that was sacrificed for us, paid for those mistakes. He paid the price that we were supposed to pay. And that's what gives him the authority to say this today. And it shows us that once we are born again, we are always born again. We can fall away sometimes. I did. I was a prodigal. I went back out in the world. I loved Jesus. I cried with him. I prayed with him. I lived for him. Life gave me a right cross on the chin. And I stupidly went back out in the world for a little while. But there's scripture about that. Okay, prodigal, go get stomped by the devil a little bit more. I love you. I'm here. You'll come back. Jesus loses none. But then there are some people who come around for a while and then they're gone. In John's epistle in 1 John 2:19, it says this, they went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. See, that's God's business. We don't know who's going to be a prodigal and who's just not really. It doesn't matter. We're not called to judge that. We are called to love each other. We're called to be the salt and the light that helps a brother or sister back in to the family of God that has gotten stomped out there. You know, we don't need to judge. Sometimes we need to have boundaries. Amen. Love has boundaries. If you're toxic, I love you and I'm praying for you. But if you're crying out for help, I got you. Church has you. Why? Because he saved us. He empowered us to be there for the weaker. Amen? And it's his strength, his power, it's all him. Praise God. So verses 38 through 40. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up on at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. And I will raise them up at the last day. He says it twice and he'll say it again. Here's a guarantee. Jesus guarantees I've come to substitute my life for the sinner. My Father has, that my Father has drawn to me. I will not lose one, but I will, not only will I see them home into glory, but I will raise them up on the last day. There will be resurrected bodies I give my people where they will be. We'll be together. We'll be in new bodies that were made to spend eternity in the glory of God. See, we feel his presence in the church in this here and now. He comes. It's his Holy Spirit is here with us. His Holy Spirit lives in us. And when we praise together, it's like that. He just glorifies himself in and through us together in worship, right? Back to him. And that's that feeling that we get. Can you imagine that pure? What it's going to feel like when we're in it. Because we would vaporize in glory right now. We're all sinners. We would fall dead. He's so holy, so pure, so righteous that we would die. But someday we won't. That's why Jesus said, I'll raise them up. They'll be with me forever. Eternity. There's a guarantee from Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody's praising out there. So this is the doctrine, it's a doctrine. It's called the doctrine of the final perseverance of true believers. And this should bring us all much comfort. Being sanctified is a process. Walking with Jesus is messy. Just giving you a heads up. But he's faithful. That's where you plant your flag. He's who you hold on to when times are tough and you start doubting and sinking. You go back to the word. You go back to his faithfulness. You go back to his promises. Oh, this life is but a vapor. And it might stink right now, but Jesus, I can't wait for eternity. I can't wait to see how you bless me and grow me through this hard time. It will be for your glory. I can lean into you and your word and rise above my circumstances. That's where I will sit, Lord. It's a choice. It's a choice. We can marinate on our problems and have fear and doubt and anger and resentment, or we can cast them all aside. Feel your feelings. You know, we're humans. You get to like figure it out, talk about it with somebody you trust, but at the end of the day, where your heart belongs is right here in his promise. You're a child of God. Ain't no devil in hell, no man on earth gonna thwart what God has for you. Period. You are bought by the blood and you will be raised again on the last day. Amen? Hallelujah. I got only 10 minutes, guys. I'm gonna skip to John verses 41 and 42. At this, the Jews there begin to grumble because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he say, I came down from heaven? They're saying, we watched Jesus grow up. We know his dad and his mom. See, they didn't have that revelation that Joseph was his legal dad, and that's his humanity, but not his real dad. Jesus was born of a virgin. Mary was a virgin. Mary was his mom. So his DNA was the father's and Mary's, making him all God and all man. He's special. The Bible calls him the monogenes, the only begotten son, the one and only. Nobody else like him, and there never will be. And so they're stumbled by this. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 22 through 24. He says, Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Gentiles or Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, there it is there. The people will think you're crazy because you love Jesus. Oh, there's the Jesus freak. You know what I'm saying? Jesus is still a stumbling block for the people of the Jewish faith. It's right here. And it's unfortunate. But to us, Christ crucified is the power of God and his wisdom. It's where it starts. Jesus says in verse 43 of John chapter 6, stop grumbling among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. This is out of the mouth of Jesus. Absolutely no one can muster up the power it takes to receive me and repent. Humans are responders. That's our choice, not the initiators. That's the drawing of the Holy Spirit. And he says, everyone who has heard, that word, that Greek word is akouo. And it means to understand and obey. Okay, so you're hearing preaching this morning. But unless you really akouo, understand and obey, there's a difference. they will all be taught by God. This is Jesus quoting Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. It's 53 verse 6. And it's about God inclining our will to come to Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Paul says this, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit, small s, who is now at work in those who are disobedient." And then we skip down to verses 4 and 5. "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." It is the mercy of God. It is the grace of God. And anybody, he picks anybody, amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We don't have to be royalty or rich. Of some social status. God looks upon us all and he says, "I love you." So he says it again in verses 48 through 51, and I'll wrap it up right here. Hallelujah. He says, "I am the bread of life." He repeats again, "I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, yet they died. You guys are complaining to me about more food. They died, but here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Jesus is, this is, he's, you know, when we do communion and we break that bread, this is what we're honoring. He gave his life. He gave it for us. And he's saying, "I am the living bread. Whoever eats this bread," that word "eats" is metaphorical for believing in Jesus. Like, because, let me take a sip. Hang on. I'm excited today. I love this. He's reaching out to these people saying, "Come on, guys. It's not about doing the do and don'ting the don't. It's not about perfection. It's the direction of your affection. We need to eat Jesus. He is the Word made flesh." Amen. And he gave us 66 books that point right to him. 66 books about who he is and who we are in him. And so when we read, when we study, when we join a Bible study or a discipleship group, when we're, you know, working out at the gym and start talking about Jesus, whatever, when we fellowship together, talk, we are eating of the bread of life. Jesus is saying, "I have to be in you." And if you do receive me and I am in you, you will live forever. Physically, no. Eternally, the most important is that our soul, when it leaves this body, our spirit, when it leaves this body, for a child of God, it is a mere transition into better. You understand that? We don't need to be afraid to die. It's sad for everybody else that loves us, but not for us. It's the best day ever. So I get it. Like, I want to see my grandkids get married. You know, I get all that. But if today's the day, so be it, Lord. Take me home. Because my day just got better. Remember that. Remember that, child of God. It's a promise. But he loves us so much that what he does with his word, I'm probably just going to go a couple minutes over, I'm sorry. This word of his, living, breathing, cutting away the world and sanctifying us, filling us with truth and giving us the power that enables us to see and to taste the truth, which sanctifies the heart, that renews the mind, and we begin to make different choices. We begin to talk different. We begin to see others different, even in their fallen states. Even at their worst, we begin to respond to them instead of reacting. We begin to deal with life in different ways. Why? Because we have faith in the one who has brought me this storm. If you're going through a storm, God has allowed it into your life. Hold on to him and his promises. He will build you in and through it. He's doing something with your faith. He's doing something, having you wrestle with yourself and God. And so I give it to you, I take it back. I give it to you, I take it back. Sound familiar? Yes, of course it does. I'll finish with this. Psalm 34:8 says this, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Blessed are you when God is your strong tower. Blessed are you when God is the one who you lean on. Blessed are you when you trust him at his word, not your feelings. You trust him. Blessed are you. Taste of him and see that he is good." Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord. Bread looked upon will not nourish us, but bread fed upon will. You get it? You want to just look upon your walk with Jesus, or you want to feed on it? Feed your spirit. Feed your spirit on a regular basis. Make it part of your diet. Make it part of your plan of your life. I know we're all busy, but when you make the Lord a priority, you will be filled. It's a promise. All right. So, we don't end a service without that prayer that I said we were going to pray. We're going to pray it right now. And look, again, God's been drawing you. You feel it. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Well, he's here today and he's calling you. He's drawing you. The Father is drawing you to Jesus today. The Holy Spirit is drawing you. It's your choice to surrender to that, to him. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, today's the day. Don't wait. Tomorrow's promised to no one. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Make today the day you gave your life to the Lord. Or maybe you have before and you'd like to just rededicate your heart. You're coming back. You know you've been living like the world. You've been living just on your own, with your own will. Come back to him, prodigal. Rededicate your life to him today. Because it's not the prayer that saves you, it's God who you're praying to that does. Amen? Amen? So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ or you want to rededicate your heart today, raise your hand and we'll pray together. Amen. I see your hands. Don't be afraid. I see your hands. I know. There's a nervousness, a wrestling. I understand. All right, church, let's pray this prayer together. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner. And I need a savior. So I ask you, come into my heart. Come into my life. Cleanse me and change me. I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit and make your word come alive. I thank you for your forgiveness, and I turn from my sin and I turn to you. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father God, thank you for your people. Shine your face upon them this week as they go. God, I pray that they've been empowered today, that their faith was filled by you to the full. And let their light so shine on this world this week that it draws others towards you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for all that you do in our life. Thank you, Jesus, for your sacrifice and your faithfulness. And thank you, Father, for your sovereignty and your love. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.